Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com. Rob Kendall, Jim Merritt, the program of State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. Do you just wake up looking like a million darn dollars?
You got to look it before you can walk it.
I mean, I have known you, I've known you for basically 7 or 8 years now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever seen a casual Friday from you. I've never seen you in a t-shirt of any sort. I mean, I think I've seen you maybe once or twice in a high-end golf shirt of some sort.
Robert, you gotta walk it. You gotta make sure people know that you honor their presence.
You spent 30 years in the Indiana Senate. This is why you're qualified to be on this show and give advice. And let's start with, I guess, about 3 years too late, but you're gonna finally get your wish. It looks like we're gonna get. An investigation on what happened in Indiana during COVID.
Yeah, and Dan Cardin wrote a great article that you sent me from the Northwest Indiana Times. He is a professional journalist, and I think he wrote a good one. I just hope in that article where they talk about an investigation, you know, there are times that headline writers kind of get a little loose and they use these terms, but. I think my friend Chris Jeter, Representative Chris Jeter from Fishers, who authored this amendment to Senate Bill 40, I hope there's a kernel there. I just don't know if it's going to pop.
What do you mean by that?
I think and you and I have talked about this on this program before, we have to figure out what went wrong. What went right? Where did we struggle? What positives came out of the pandemic? And investigating people is not the right way. Having a commission of 8 and 4 Republican Democrat is not enough. And this has to come from I don't like this term, but on high, where the governor who. From March 2020 on, wrote executive orders. He was communicating via a podcast.
I think you're looking. The phrase you're looking for is ruling by fiat.
Yeah, and by executive order, and you know, way back when we gave Governor Mitch that ability. And the legislature should have taken that back from the governor, or they should have let it sunset. Where you give the governor of the state of Indiana the ability to have fiat and have that ability and have that executive order to, quote-unquote, govern. And I think the legislature should have had a clause in there, and I was a part of it, so I'm part guilty on this, but we should have sunsetted that, because the idea of allowing somebody that idea, and what we need to do is define what is an emergency. And if there's, and we've talked about this as well, if executive orders have to come, let them exhaust themselves, sunset after 60 or 90 days, and then review. There's no reason in the world why Mayor Hogsett should have been able to shut down bars, restaurants, just by his own volition. And we should have reviewed that after a certain amount of time.
Yeah, no offense, Jim, because I know some of these people are your friends. Mm-hmm. They are the worst. These people are just awful. And so let's talk about it. So 3 years later, right? I mean, one thing that had come out in 2021 and said, okay, we are as you said, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. Holcomb, King Eric the Red, you've had a year. We're done here. We're going to, you know, you got 60 days and then we're stepping in. I mean, they could. There's a million different ways they could have stopped this. They didn't. Came back in 2022, million different ways could have stopped it. They didn't. And now 3 years later, they go, well, we're going to take 2 years to study this. Holcomb's going to be out of office
right
by the time they're done.
Right. And you know, to be truthful and to be honest and clear, the governor and his administration were flying blind. They had a blindfold on themselves.
Yeah, but he was enjoying the power pants.
Well, and there was money coming from the federal government.
Sure.
But
power
still.
Power and money, Holcomb in one sentence.
Right, but you don't do a commission without inviting people in to tell you what they did right and what actually happened.
What is it?
Huh?
What went right? What would you look back on the pandemic and go, Holcomb did that really well?
Well, I don't know. There's actually, and you know, my mom and dad are 89 and 90. FSSA is working on home care for elderly people, for senior citizens. And as well as IU Health has done a great, and probably Community Health Network, has done a great job of revising and getting into telehealth. Those are two positives that came out of the...
But Holcomb didn't have anything to do with that. The government didn't have anything to do with that.
No, but I think we need to... You're right. But I think this commission needs to be more than what everybody did wrong and using the word investigate. And this is... We talked about this last time. The rub between the legislature and the governor's office has to stop. That is so counterproductive. And Representative Jeter has an idea here, but it needs to be broad. It needs to be informative for people, so we don't struggle next time. Because Robert, there is going to be a next time.
Yeah, why don't they investigate themselves? Because the legislature had the ability to, if they didn't like Holcomb doing something, they had the ability to stop it. Now, you notice they practically tore a hamstring when they got back during Org Day of 2020, exempting themselves from the mask mandate.
Right.
They didn't do anything for the people. Yeah. Hey, shut up and wear your mask, Johnny. But us lawmakers, we're not wearing masks. So these guys did the things they wanted to do. And this is why I said they're all awful. The governor's awful. Jeter's awful. And I know I'm going to lose a listener because Jeter's wife is an admitted big listener of what we do over here. But this sucks. This whole thing, 3 years later, and then you're going to take 2 years. Well, what if there's another supposed pandemic between now and then?
Well, there just might well be, and we got to be prepared. And regardless of what Jeter did, and hi, Mrs. Jeter,
and she's very nice.
Is she?
And well, I'm not going to hold her accountable for him.
Well, Chris is a veteran, and I honor his service. So, you know, that there's that. But the bottom line is you need a complete, comprehensive look at it. So we can figure out what's going on. And the only way you're going to do that is get, you know, my dad always used to say, you get more bears with honey. You've got to invite the administration in. You've got to invite the Supreme. This has to be a comprehensive look of what happened. And so we don't have the problems and we get to what was good that happened during the pandemic and make sure that everybody knows it.
Yeah, you mentioned the article by Dan Carden from the Northwest Times, and in that article, Jeter says, well, COVID-19 is, quote, a distant memory that we'd like to forget. No, I don't want to forget it.
No.
Because what the government did, what Holcomb did, and by default, what the Indiana Republican Party did, because they allowed Holcomb to do it, was gross. Over a million people lost their job. Tens of thousands of businesses shut down. Many of them never reopened. Many that did were never the same. Holcomb, during that time, called peaceful protesters a human petri dish, yet had a VIP meet and greet where he's shaking hands with a domestic terrorist who's now in jail in Portland for attempting to kill cops.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
And Robert, we need that review because there was no reason in the world why people from the Holcomb administration would be visiting different places around the state to shut them down.
But they were.
Yeah, they were. And you know what? One of the things that, I'm writing a piece on this because I want to amplify this and have a broad look and encompassing look and really tell people exactly what should happen next time. And we can't have, you know, I think you called it at one point the Holcomb Police, going out to different companies and shutting them down and making sure that they're doing things.
I know people who they showed up to their door. They weren't doing anything wrong.
I do, too.
We'd like to know what you're doing here. Kiss my backside.
Yeah, and, you know, Indiana is a place where we have 300 different communities, small and large, but you can't give power to the locals to shut everything down without a review over 90 days. Is this working? Because there's no way in the world Marion County should have been shut down and Hamilton County open. People were coming to Hamilton County to go out to dinner.
Yeah, I mean, the audacity of these lawmakers who. Much of them, and you saw it, Jim. Your term was up, or you had resigned, and you were not running again. Somebody took your place by then. But in the fall of 2020, who were on social media going, yeah, Holcomb, he's awful. Send us back there. We'll do something about it. We'll help you. We'll curtail the power. We'll blah 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 blah. They did nothing. Yeah. The only thing they did was write a piece of legislation that looked like it was written by a third grader. And there's no way Rod Bray, the pro tem of the Senate, would have ever written something that terrible for his clients as an attorney. And it failed because it was designed to fail. And then these guys have the audacity to go, we really ought to investigate and find out what happened.
Yes. And you know, it's all about communication. And as you know, Robert, a lot of Indiana, an embarrassing percentage of Indiana does not have broadband. And this is all about communication.
Now, wait. I thought we raised all the taxes, the war on truckers, the gas tax. I thought that was going to lay the broadband.
And to her credit, Lieutenant Governor's office, Suzanne Crouch's office, has done a lot like many lieutenant governors, has done a good job of identifying who doesn't have the internet.
Wait, I got a question for you, because 6 years ago, we got the largest tax increase in the history of the state. Year after that, you got the war on truckers with $1 billion in tolling. We were told, oh, the broadband. It's 6 years later. Where's the broadband?
We're not covered. And
we got the tax increases. Where's the broadband?
I traveled to Taipei a long, long time ago, 15, 20 years ago.
Sounds like a long trip.
Yeah. And 75% of Taiwan's island, if you will, the Taiwanese, 75% of them then were covered with broadband and had communication. One of the things that we need to make sure of is that everyone has access to the internet for schools, for businesses, just to communicate the message that this is going on. And a lot of people in these small communities, you know, they were being told to stay home because of this virus that they had no idea what was going on. It wasn't affecting them. And many communities, many businesses, many people lost their financial lives, if you will. And we need to make sure, and it will happen, not to be Debbie Downer here, but something will happen in the future, that a crisis will happen, and we need to make sure that people, we have a way to communicate with people, that kids can go online and study, if you will, in a short amount of time, as well as we need to review all these fiats after 30 to 60, 90 days to make sure that things are smooth. There's no way in the world Marion County should have been under lock and key for so long during that pandemic.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com. Rob Kendall, Jim Merritt, Program State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. All right, your friends over there in the Senate, you spent 30 years around much of these underachievers, and they have passed a budget, and I'll be darned, Jim, there was part of me that kept thinking they're bluffing, and they're playing hardball, and they're trying to get something, and there's no way they're going to send something over to the House without any property tax relief. And well, they said, don't threaten us with a good time. The Senate has passed a budget, and there is no property tax help.
Well, also, the revenue forecast came out this week,
Well, let's
Robert.
Get to that in a second. Because
There's $1.5 billion in the forecast.
Well, I know. There's extra money.
But
there's no, I mean, it's like, well, how can we spend this money? How fast can we spend this money? It is a pretty sick, evil thing to know the people that you have pledged to help and represent are hurting, and for you to just go, good luck.
You know,
you would have never done that.
We've been talking about this for a year on this program. And the problem here is that we've had tax cuts before, right?
Yeah.
And how do we do that? We send them a check.
Yeah.
And we have the data. The idea that state government, Indiana government, can't send a check to cushion the blow, the impact of these property taxes increase is ludicrous. You can do that. And they got together in a special session last year, last summer. They had every ability to put a special committee together in the fall to figure out how they're going to, how are they going to see and talk to and embrace the idea that Hoosiers on May 10th are going to get shocked by the tax assessment. Now, the 1-2-3, you and I have disagreed with this. When with the 1%, 2%, 3% that was placed in the Constitution by amendment, everybody voted on it. That system, I believe, works, but assessments have grown. The market system works, but this blow to the taxpayer that's happening on May 10th didn't have to happen, Robert.
Yeah, this
we could have cushioned it.
Well, it would involve a little bit of work, but let's just take your example. Now, look, I'm totally out on the idea that you tax people based on the assessed value of their home, because what the guy down the street does for me is none of my business in the stock market. It's none of the business in his working life, and I'm not taxed for what he does. I'm taxed for what I do. But when it's our home, well, I get punished if he cashes out and makes a bunch of money. So,
and that impacts the value of your home.
Right, absolutely. Right. So, but you're right. Look, the county assessor, obviously, they send you a tax bill, has data on what the tax bill for every single citizen, and I'm just freewheeling this off the top of my head right now on this radio show, and I'm not getting paid $70,000 a year to work 3 months out of the year and get my Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays off like the people down the street from me. If I can come up with this in 30 seconds off the top of my head, they should be able to come up with something way better. But the county assessor has the data on every single home. They have on every single tax bill. They have the data on every single increase in taxes, and it would be nothing for them to submit that data to the state of Indiana, Hendricks County. Here's what the increases were. You write us a check. We'll distribute that, and you know, either as a check or the form of a property tax credit or whatever. I just came up with that. If you don't like that, fine. What's your answer? Their answer is nothing, Jim.
Well, and also, you don't have to do it by May 10th. You can recognize the fact that there's going to be explosion on May 10th. Wrong term. But there's going to be a massive impact on someone's wallet by May 10th, and promise them, we're going to send you a check sometime this summer and develop a plan so that people actually don't lose their homes.
Or even if you don't even have to, I guess you don't even technically have to send a check. If you say that we're going to save a tree or two here, you could just say, look, you get the credit in the fall. Yeah. Here's what you overpaid. Here's the credit.
There's a myriad of ways that you can.
They don't want to.
I don't understand it, because there's plenty of money.
Yes, that's the crazy thing.
They sent a dribble of a tax cut last summer. This can happen, Robert, and for some reason it isn't.
Who doesn't want it to happen? I mean, it's leadership, right? Is it Holcomb?
I don't know. It just seems so simplistic.
Isn't it? We just came up with a plan.
Yeah,
if you don't like it, come up with your own plan. But you and I, we get paid nothing.
Right. And I you know, frankly, my former brethren, and I know a lot of them, I don't understand why you don't recognize something that's right in front of you. You may have a favorite mayor who has a primary challenge May. And you're not recognizing that you might help somebody at the local level who's going to have a problem this summer, because everybody thinks, you think back, see Bart Peterson's 2007 election, And he didn't lead everybody to the State House to protest it. He got hit with it, and it really wasn't his fault.
Yeah. So now, again, program State House Happenings, Rob Kendall, Jim Merritt, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. Now, for years and years, you and I have done this show together. You were the original co-host on the State House Happenings when it was Capitol Happenings. And then you ran for mayor, and Abdul took your place. And now Abdul's running for mayor, and you're taking his place. So you're like, welcome back, Cotter. You're here. And for years on this
welcome
show.
Welcome back, Merritt.
Yeah, and various forms. You have always been the nice guy, the good cop, bad cop. I've been the bad cop. You're universally loved, and I'm universally loathed. And but I think in this case, we are in agreement that it is gross that there has not been a task force. There hasn't been a committee. There hasn't been any. There's no want. There's no one in the Indiana State House right now pushing, going, we got to do this, man. And Nikki Kelly told us, can we agree on that? Before I get to the second part of that, we agree that that's a total abdication of responsibility to the people.
And what topic you're talking about? I mean, we talk about a lot of topics. Yeah. Are you talking about the pandemic? Are you talking about the tax increase via property taxes?
Everything.
Yeah, legislators.
Just fill in the topic.
Legislators, and we've talked about this probably ad nauseum, but they have to. The way they move is by crisis. There's no, you know, for instance, last summer was the life bill because of the Supreme Court operating, and they had an election in front of them. There's no election until 2024 with legislators and governor candidates, because we haven't heard a word.
Isn't that wild?
We haven't
wouldn't
heard a word. What an opportunity!
If you were running for governor, wouldn't you? That would be all. That'd be all I'd be talking
Me
about.
Me too. What an opportunity for service to let people know that you're willing to look at what happened during the pandemic, the pluses and the minuses. You're willing to come with a plan to soften the blow on property taxes, increases is not the right term. And you talk about your vision for the future of the state of Indiana, and all three of the current candidates have not spoken on it. Now, Suzanne Crouch, she's attached to the governor. She's attached to the Senate. Eric Doden, I'm not sure what he's doing. Senator Braun talks about all bad things in Washington. So, you know, they're just anxious to start raising money because they can't during session of the legislature.
So we had Nikki Kelly on the Kendall and Casey show on Wednesday.
Oh.
You know Nikki Kelly, right?
Yeah, I'm writing an op-ed for her right now.
Yeah, that's right. You write for the Capital Chronicle, don't you, where she works at now.
Yes.
And, you know,
she is a true journalist.
She's very nice. I have no idea why
she's nice, but she also does a very good job.
No idea why she associates with us, but she does. And she made an interesting point yesterday when we were talking about this very issue. And she said one of the reasons she thinks maybe the lawmakers aren't taking this as serious is, yes, they get the emails. Yes, they get the phone calls. If they're out in person, somebody might say something to them. But there is not been the swarm of people. There are the numbers of the emails and the phone calls, and they're definitely getting those. But there's not the thing at the State House. There's not the 1,000 people.
The red-shirted
right,
teachers.
Right, right, right. There's not a color-coordinated, angry mob screaming at them. And that sucks that that's what's got to happen, but it appears that is what has got to happen now.
Well, yeah, you look back in 2007 when the pitchforks were hitting the State House and about the property taxes, and they acted. We had a two-year commission. You know, it was good that we did that because we understood the complete problem. And then you have a constitutional amendment, and you had the 1-2-3. Now, Nikki is usually right about everything, and it goes back to the crisis, managing a crisis. And legislators really aren't seeing much in front of their nose. You got to see in front of your headlights and anticipate a problem. And this is coming down the tracks. And when they get back in their districts, and the session's going to sign and die and adjourn really quickly here. When they get back to church, when they get back to the grocery, when they get back to the gym, when they get back to walking their downtown areas. They're going to hear from their constituents, and that face-to-face is going to create a maybe not a panic, maybe not a crisis, but they're going to have a cinder in their eye, and they're going to want to act.
Yeah, and this is what I tell people, and you got to do it within the confines of the law. You got to do it peacefully, But you got to get up in someone's grill at a Walmart and a Wendy's and a hardware store and your kid's soccer game. There are no boundaries in terms of these people work for you. And if you see them out and about in a peaceful, legal, lawful way, you got to get up in their grill and you got to tell them how much they're screwing you over.
You know, Robert, there's a lot of anger over around out there. When I stop at a stoplight, I don't look at the people next to me. And there are people
probably because you're driving such a nice car.
There are people that still think that I'm in the legislature. And there are also people that think that you know, they hear us on the radio or they see me on Facebook or whatnot, and they want me to do something. And I said, well, I'm not no longer there. But and they said, well, that doesn't make a difference. You have a voice.
Yeah.
You need to talk. And I said, well, listen to Merritt in the morning, Jim Merritt's Indiana, and listen to Rob and me and Casey on the radio. And I'm telling people that we have a crisis coming on and something has to happen. And there's no vehicle to do it until next January because the legislature's not in till then.
Yeah, they go on a permanent vacation here coming up.
They do. And I'm just, you know, they're immovable on this subject. And I don't understand it because it's such an easy sell. It's easy plan, as we talked about.
Emails don't work. Phone calls don't work. It is now face-to-face, nonviolent, law-abiding combat at this point.
And being friendly. I mean,
No. You can't be friendly with these people, Jim. They're not being friendly to you.
Well, you didn't let me finish. Friendly but earnest. And I think you don't really have to. Legislators always respond to, you know, if you have a petition or you had an email, you know, it got lost or whatever. But if you talk to them and face to face and tell them exactly what your problem is and how they can fix it, they'll respond. And that gets back to the Nikki and what we've always talked about. Legislators deal with crises. And it and if it's not crisis, then good luck.
A couple minutes left. State House happenings. Got about two-ish minutes left. Mayor's race in the primary coming down to the wire. The Republican side, probably the one that'll be the closer of the two races. I look at how much Shreve has spent. I think it may end up being over $1 million by the time it's all.
I think it is. I think it is over $1 million.
You imagine having $1 million to throw into a primary for mayor?
Yeah.
You own money?
Yeah. It took me 10 months to get the $1 million when I was running, and we saw what that did. But, you know, the idea of this mayoral primary, and they're all good people, Pastor Jackson and Jefferson Shreve and Abdul, our friend Abdul, and my friend Jefferson Shreve. It's been kind of an interesting time. Jefferson Shreve gets in it real late, and he's got a real professional staff and supporters behind him. He's putting in all the money. Abdul has a giant personality, and they've had debates, and Pastor Jackson, you know, with the 10-point coalition and many people behind him. It's very interesting. I heard a bio on WIBC ad from Jefferson Shreve, and it was a good one. I was sitting in the barber's chair, and I saw him on TV talking to the camera. He's got great people behind him that are suggesting really good ads, and
he
so
better win, right? Can you imagine losing $1 million in a primary and losing?
No,
win. I mean, even if it's by two votes.
Yeah, well, you know, Abdul has a lot of good things to say, and he's had some press conferences, but it's really difficult to fight the almighty dollar.
You and I live in the bubble. We've got about a minute left here. You and I live in the bubble, so we don't know. Like, we know Abdul. The people in politics know Abdul. I wonder, though, does the average Republican voter outside of politics, does he know Abdul? Because we know Abdul, right? That doesn't mean anything.
Well, also, Jefferson Shreve is from the southern part of Marion County. And the base now in Marion County are the southern townships, Franklin, in Decatur and Johnson, not Johnson, but those three townships, Perry Township, are really the base of the Republican Party, and that's his power base. And so he has a pretty good opportunity to win, but our friend Abdul is working really hard up to the last moment.
He is. Well, you're a national treasure, and he's our good friend Jim Merritt, and his podcast is Merritt in the Morning. Find it on Facebook. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com. Rob Kendall, Jim Merritt, the program Statehouse Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. Don't forget, you can find Jim on Twitter at Jim_Merritt, at Jim_Merritt. Me, I'm on Twitter at Rob M. Kendall, at Rob M. Kendall. And you can hear me weekdays 9 until noon, the Kendall and Casey Show on 93.1 WIBC. That is going to do it for this week. Hope you have a great, safe, and happy weekend. For Jim Merritt, I'm Rob Kendall. You've been listening to Statehouse Happenings.